That one hurt. Not going to lie about that. Celtics drop game three on a buzzer beater. 104-103. We're going to talk about it right now on a Friday Locked On Celtics. Millie's. Let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter. Here after a really just brutal loss. I mean, from the... I had the recap on MassLive.com. And on a back-and-forth night, with a recap that you're supposed to write and publish at the buzzer, first of all, on a game like this, it's impossible to get this thing right. And after that dump off to Daniel Theis for the dunk, I was starting to write Celtics win, Celtics win. And then OG Anunoby hits a three-pointer at the buzzer with 0.5 seconds left. I mean, just a brutal loss. Brutal loss. Celtics now lead 2-1. A little bit different format for today's podcast. Normally I go positive, negatives, and whatever. I got to start by talking about that last play. So segment one, the final play. Segment two, just a few more negatives. We'll get the negatives out of the way. And I think today, good day to end on a high note. I'm going to do segment three, the positives. So you can end this podcast thinking, okay, hopefully positive thoughts going into game four. So let's start with this. After the game, Jaylen Brown fell on his sword, took responsibility for this loss, and said, the miscommunication, it was me. I knew we were supposed to defend the three-point line. I didn't do it. In fact, here's part of what he said. I'll let you hear for yourself. Jaylen Brown taking responsibility for that last play.
It's just a miscommunication. That's really all what happened. At the end of the day, you know, we just got to be better as a unit. You know, regardless of what we was in, you know, we had to guard the three-point line. So that was just a fucking disgrace at the end of the game. That was just terrible. You know, no way we should have lost that game. You know, I take responsibility for that, not just that play, but, you know, a lot of the plays before. It happens. It's the NBA playoffs. Either you know, let them gain momentum, or you come back and be ready to play next game.
All right. So is he right? Is he wrong? He has a point. I'll put it that way. It's not on one person for sure. It's totally not on one person, but he has a point. As the play starts, the Celtics have Taco Fall defending the out of bounds play. Now, here's one thing that's a little bit different in the bubble, that Kyle Lowry gets a lot more room. In a regular game, that play, he would have been a lot closer to the sideline. So step one here, and just it is what it is, Kyle Lowry has a lot more room than usual to get that ball over the top of Taco Fall, who's in there specifically to guard this inbounds pass. In a regular game, he would have maybe been a few inches closer. He wouldn't have been able to take that step back. He wouldn't have been able to take a step forward to make that pass. Taco, I think, maybe gets a tip, tips the ball, or at least has a better chance to in that moment. So, but here we are in the bubble. The Celtics are playing a kind of zone. They're switching everything. They're playing to not allow the three-point play, the three-point shot. OG Anunoby goes baseline, and Jason Tatum kind of like points to him and is like, that's step one here. that Jason Tatum could have been louder, bigger, more demonstrative about there's OG, you got OG. Jaylen Brown is covering Pascal Siakam, who is cutting up. Marc Gasol goes down to set a pick. Siakam comes around that. Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown kind of switch, but Marcus Smart is also gesturing to the corner, I believe. It's hard to tell from this angle. It seems like he's gesturing to the corner. Now, when the pass goes up in the air, Jaylen Brown is on Marc Gasol. He's in the middle of the lane. Now, the reason why this is a tough place for him to be is, and why this is partially, I'd say more of it is his fault than anybody else's. It's not 100% his fault, but I'd say a majority of this is his fault because he's got Daniel Theis 2 feet away from him, and he has to be aware that Theis can take Gasol. And I think that Jaylen Brown could have drawn that attention to Theis and maybe glanced to notice Ananobi in the corner. Okay, he didn't. And so the pass goes over to Ananobi. Jaylen Brown realizes what's going on. He's in the middle of the lane. Now, because Taco Fall is Taco Fall, that's a big looping pass. Credit to Ananobi for getting that shot off. I mean, that pass is a big, high, looping rainbow. To get it to that spot, first of all, for Lowry, it's a great pass. Jaylen Brown almost gets there. I mean, he almost gets there. If he had just been another step, he might have blocked that shot. And this is the difference. How many times have we talked about this? How many times have I mentioned this on this podcast? Get that extra half step, a couple inches this way or that way, and it's the difference between a make or a miss, a layup or a foul. A few inches further away from Gasol, and Jaylen Brown gets to that shot. I bet he gets to that shot, tips it, does something, challenges it. Maybe even gets to the pass. I don't think so, but he was caught way too deep. He was caught on the other side of Gasol. And just because of, if you watch the play, he has to spin. He notices the pass. Because he's caught on Gasol, he's got his back to Ananobi. He has to spin and then run. If he had just been able to, instead of spin, just take off, that gives him an extra step. And those little things here and there are the difference between a win and a loss. So Jaylen Brown didn't know that Ananobi was there. He didn't know. And if he had known, maybe he would have played that differently. He could have seen what Jason Tatum was gesturing to him had Jason Tatum been bigger, louder. So that's on Tatum for sure. Marcus Smart tried to, I think, alert Jaylen Brown. I think there's something that Theis maybe could have done to get over to Gasol, maybe. And I'm saying all of this just to say that it's not one person. There's plenty of blame to go around for that. And with half a second left, it's a miracle shot anyway. And considering how many open looks Toronto had in the first three games of the series, for that shot to go in, it's just like a ball buster. But I think Jaylen Brown does, if we're portioning out blame, if we're slicing up the blame pie, a bigger slice, the biggest slice of it goes to Jaylen Brown. And he admitted it, and now all you can do now is move on. That's the only choice that they have is to move on. I'm going to move on to some more negatives. And as per usual, when it comes down to a last second shot or when it comes down to a referee's call, there's always something else that could have been done to prevent that situation. That is always the case. So I will look at some of those things as we continue to dwell on this loss when I come back. Now, a lot of you might be dwelling about a very difficult thing that happens to you. It happens to a lot of guys. It's erectile dysfunction. It's not easy to talk about. And we usually brush it off, blame ourselves, say something like, I've lost my mojo, or I had a long day at work, or I'm just not feeling it. Okay, but it's really something that you don't have to be embarrassed about. With Roman, it is easy to talk about it. And with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, it's safe, and it's totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan, and if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, it's discreet, and to get started, you just go to roman.com/lockedonNBA. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lockedonNBA today. If you're approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/lockedonNBA. getroman.com/lockedonNBA. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Let's get these other negatives out of the way here. First negative out of this loss is just big picture, how tough it is to lose this game. Not just because it's deflating, which it is, and it gives the other team some confidence. That's great for Toronto. But I'm not a big believer in momentum carrying over from game to game. You start that next game hot and you'll be fine. That momentum goes away quickly because I don't think game to game momentum is generally something that happens. However, there is no bigger difference in a series than being up 3-0 versus being up 2-1. When you're up 3-0, that's it. That's done. The other team is as desperate as it gets. And the second things start to get away from them, the tendency to quit kind of creeps in. You're down 3-0, it's the fourth quarter, you're down 15, and you're like, oh, God, forget it. Forget it. Like, that's what you have. 2-1, now all you got to do is win one game. And it's a tied series. And then it's a best of three. That's a huge difference. That puts a lot of pressure on the Celtics to come out in this next game and win, because being up 3-1 is a hell of a lot different than being tied in the series. But the Celtics had a 3-0 lead in their hands, let it slip away. That's tough. That's as negative as it can get. Now, they could have avoided this. They could have avoided this. The start of the third quarter, I think they were sloppy. They had one good offensive possession, but they kind of weren't getting to a lot of the 50-50 balls. Like, over the first few minutes, the Celtics, I mean, basically they pissed away a lead. They had a 10-point lead going into the half, and then by the, let's see, it was the 3-minute mark, they were down. So they just let Toronto just keep chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, and not getting to those 50-50 balls, not getting to those rebounds. If you want to look at anything that changed the momentum of this game, we go into the third quarter. The third quarter is where this game was really lost, because those were minutes that the Celtics could have won. And if they had come out to start the third quarter and built that lead, I mean, there is the biggest basketball cliche, or one of them, is when you've got a 10-point lead, when you've got a lead like this, coming out of the half, you got to come out and push that lead to 15, push that lead to 20. And the first 5 minutes of that second half determine the outcome of the game. How many times have you heard the first 5 minutes here are going to be huge? Because the Celtics go from up 10. If in those first 5 minutes you go up 15, go up 20, you force them to take a timeout. You force them to get a little desperate. But in the first 5 minutes of that third quarter, well, let's see what's happening here at the 7 minute mark. Oh, it's 61-57 after Fred VanVleet's layup, right at the 7 minute mark. All of a sudden, it's a 4-point game. And then Kyle Lowry hits a three, and it's a 1-point game. And now this is really starting to go back and forth. And part of this, the Celtics start struggling with the zone. And in this mix, at the 5 minute mark, Enes Kanter comes in. And right away, now he hits a little hook shot and he gets a couple rebounds and he has a putback. And the putback is, you know, a big deal because it's a tie game. He ties it back up. But they attacked him in those pick and rolls. Right away, Fred VanVleet steps into a three-point shot because Kanter is playing that drop coverage, and then he couldn't miss. All of a sudden, Fred VanVleet, who was cold the whole series, the first two games, all of a sudden he's back. I will admit it may be a touch unfair to put all of Fred VanVleet's success on Enes Kanter being in the game. Kanter was only in there for 4 minutes. But man, it feels like the Raptors were struggling and not cohesive. And they would go on little runs, mostly because Kyle Lowry was attacking and Kyle Lowry was carrying the Raptors. And you had these moments of a couple of guys hitting shots here or there, but nothing cohesive. Nothing was really working on a regular basis. Then Kanter comes in, and then it becomes, weak point. Let's go. Attack this over and over and over again. In 4 minutes, just attack Kanter every chance you get. And that gave, I think, Toronto some life, some purpose, some focus. They all of a sudden knew exactly what they had to do. Siakam couldn't just, you know, before that, Siakam posts up, let's try this. Let's try, can we get Fred VanVleet open this way? Can we get Norm Powell open this way? And you're working so hard for all of these shots, and there's nothing seems to be working. And if you make the shot, great, you know, that's the make-miss league and all of that. Kanter comes in, it's like, boom, laser focus, we got it. And then once that starts happening and they get comfortable, then the rest of the game, they were just their normal selves. So I feel like the Kanter minutes were a mistake. And I know Brad Stevens, why he did it. And he thought, hey, look, and he said it after the game, the Kanter rebounding he thought was going to help them against that zone. And It sort of did, but the payoff is just too immense. And it's funny, Michael Pina, I think it was, tweeted out, these minutes are Enes Kanter's career in a nutshell. Because on the offensive ends, like, yeah, put back, offensive rebound, that stuff, that great. Defensively, holy shit. They just went after him. So I thought that was a tactical error by Brad Stevens. Another tactical error, I think, in the fourth quarter. He just waited a little too long to get his starters back in there. I just don't know why he waited so long to get Jason Tatum in the game. He didn't get Tatum back in the game until the 7:46 mark. I don't understand why Tatum wasn't in to start the fourth quarter. And get your whole starting lineup out there. What's Brad Wanamaker doing on the floor to start the fourth quarter of a one-point playoff game? I don't get it. What's Grant Williams doing in there? And Grant didn't do poorly, but like he had a foul on Siakam that sent Siakam to the line. I just, at that point, fourth quarter, critical, like get that, you're trying to get that third win, that 3-0 lead. Ride your starters to start the fourth quarter. I just feel like he waited a little too long, and by the time Tatum came in, yeah, the Celtics were up 2, but get your starters in there. Maybe you could have been up 3 or 4 or 5. Again, you lose by 1 point on that buzzer beater. We're nitpicking to find spots where they could have made up some of these points. The Cantor minutes, I think, might have been a place where Toronto turned things around. In that spot at the top of the fourth quarter, I think, was a place where you just ride those guys. And maybe you can steal a minute of rest. You can sub Tatum out. If you're worried about being tired, you sub him out at like the somewhere in the 8 minute mark, the 7 minute mark. You catch that timeout, that TV timeout. So you let him sit for a couple of minutes, only miss like a minute and a half of time. If you can get him in there, then you have an opportunity to rest him. They had timeouts. So I thought that was a mistake. So we'll be back with positives. Let's end this thing on a high note. You don't need to be hearing any more negatives, and it's a tough loss as it is. Let's end this on a high note, and I will do that next. Also going out on a high note will be me when I get my delivery from Built Bar, because these new and improved Built Bars are even more delicious. I ordered myself a new box. I got the peanut butter because I'm a peanut butter fiend. But they have new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. If you've got a nut allergy, they have non-nut flavors. So that's fine. You don't have to worry about that. These are all covered in 100% chocolate. They're all very soft and easy to chew. I'm trying to be health conscious, and then adding these to my diet, not a problem, because they're low calorie, they're low sugar, they're high protein, they're high fiber. They're great if you're on a keto diet, which is very popular. I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight, trying to add a little bit of muscle. A protein bar like this gets me the protein after I lift to get me a little bit of a boost there, but it doesn't blow out my workout with a ton of calories. These bars, you get somewhere between 130 calories and 180 calories. You get 18 grams of protein, 17 grams of protein, 15 grams of protein. It's exactly what you need with something like 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs. It's perfect for you. If you've used the promo code before, you can use it again. Don't worry about that. Use Locked On at BuiltBar.com. And you'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code Locked On. Go right now and get $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. All right, let's end this thing on a high note. Let's dwell on the positives at the end here. Going into game 4, which is on Saturday, it's going to be a nice Saturday evening. Here's what you got. 6:30 Saturday. The Celtics and the Raptors play game four. It's a great time because the game will be over at 9. You get a chance to go out after that and celebrate a Celtics win because they're going to win that game. They're definitely going to win that game, right? Look, Kemba Walker had a great game. He had a great game. And for a guy that had started off cold, to see him come in and start off hot, 17 points in the first quarter, I mean, that was an amazing performance. 9 of 15 shooting, 4 of 7 from 3, 7 of 7 from the line, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. And that last assist to Daniel Theis, snaking his way through, slithering through double teams. I mean, that is a dude that is trying like hell to win. Dropping it down to Daniel Theis for that dunk with 0.5 seconds left. I thought he had that. I thought he had that, the game won right there. But that vision was great. And not only that, he's diving all over the floor for loose balls. And he's out there defending, taking charges. Kemba was just a beast out there. And I certainly want to make sure that he gets enough love for that. Now, Jaylen Brown, minus that last play, was awesome defending. I thought he shut down Pascal Siakam. I thought he had Siakam just frustrated. Siakam could not go to his spin move. He could not get to where he wanted. When he did, Jaylen Brown was there to block shots. Jaylen blocked 4 shots, a playoff career high. 4 block shots. And that was awesome. So I thought Jaylen's defense was fantastic. Offensively, he was pretty good too. 9 of 15. I thought he hit some timely shots. Again, 4 turnovers, not particularly great, but the 12 rebounds was also huge. 19 and 12 for Jaylen. I do not want this game to go without Jaylen's defense being properly acknowledged. I thought he did a really good job, and he's going to have to do that kind of job on Siakam again in game 4 for the Celtics to have a chance to win that game. Jason Tatum did not shoot well, but he passed well. I thought the 6 assists were great. He was driving and kicking. Look, they're going to try to take away that shot from Jason Tatum. They're going to try and take away what he does best. And he hit some tough ones, but they're going to bother him. They're not going to let him be the reason why the Celtics win, because he's just too good. And him getting those kickouts and those falling, and him getting the assists, that's great. It's great to see. I thought the Celtics were pretty good at closing quarters. They closed the first quarter with a Kemba Walker buzzer beater. He buried a 3 to, 33-28 to give the Celtics a 5-point lead. After OG Anunoby hit a 3-pointer, he comes down and hits a 3 at the buzzer. So that's huge, closing that quarter. Then at the end of the second quarter, Walker buries another jump shot at basically almost the buzzer. The Celtics had the lead at 5, and all of a sudden, a Tatum layup and a Walker 3-pointer pushed it up to 10 over the last 30 seconds of the game, of the half. So another great close to the quarter. Even in the third quarter, the Wanamaker 3-point play, Rob Williams, by the way, that cutting dunk, that dunk that drew the flagrant foul on Pascal Siakam. I thought that was, so between that and the last minute, the Celtics went from a tie game to all of a sudden up 4. So another great closeout to the quarter. So what's next? Oh, one other thing I had to mention before I say what's next and wrap this up. That flagrant foul on Daniel Theis was complete bullshit. I have to address this. A big man sliding with his arms up and his elbows bent. If he just slides directly, if he's going sideways, he's not looking at who's next to him. And a small guard like Kyle Lowry comes over and happens to run into Tice's elbow. That's not a flagrant foul. You want to call that a foul? Okay, fine. Tice was not aware of his surroundings. He ran into Kyle Lowry. That happens. To call that a flagrant, we have to have some intent. There has to be intent involved for a flagrant foul to be called. You can't just call a flagrant for a guy that clearly wasn't even looking, didn't even know, wasn't aware that Lowry was there. How could that be a flagrant foul? He didn't swing his arms. He just was keeping his arms up to playing good defense, good positional defense. That's insane. I don't understand that. I'm all for protecting these players. Elbows to the head are flagrant fouls because you want to prevent guys from taking shots at other people's heads because you don't want concussions. That's very serious. And the rule should be there for that, yes. But there should be intent. If you're going to call that flagrant, there has to be intent. To me, it can't just accidentally happen, because that just opens up too big a can of worms. Because guys are just going to go like, hey, if this big man's sliding, I'm just going to go stand next to him and, you know, try to draw the foul and see if I can sell the elbow to my face. And all of a sudden you're grifting flagrant fouls. I hate that. I hated that call. I'm also glad that they got the potential flagrant review on the Brad Wanamaker layup where he kneed Kyle Lowry in the balls. I'm glad that they got that call right, because all he was doing was jumping. Watch every player that jumps and takes a layup. Watch any game where a guy takes a layup and that other knee comes up. And if Kyle Lowry jumps over and happens to get caught in the balls, I'm sorry, that sucks, but come on. I'm sick of players like basically bullying referees into a review. Like, you can't just hound these guys and beg and beg and beg for a review. And the referees, they give into it. If you're the official and you all see it, like, you can't go to everything. You can't review everything. It's getting a little old. And I'm all for reviews and getting a call right. But, like, you saw it. You know what happened. You weren't blocked out. It's just a little too much. But I'm glad that they got the Wanamaker call right. Because if you're going to start calling flagrants on a guy just jumping up and taking a layup, and his knee, like, that's how you jump to take a layup off of 1 foot. That's how you jump. Your knee is out. He didn't extend it. He didn't kick. So I'm glad they got that right. All right. End of rant. So now what? Tomorrow, Saturday, I should say. What can we expect? Lowry and Van Vliet seem like they're back. And if those guys are hitting shots, it's going to be tough. And does this OG Anunoby shot really light a fire under him? I don't know how this affects Toronto, because I don't necessarily believe in game-to-game momentum, but confidence sure does help guys make shots. And if Toronto's making shots, that's going to be very difficult. But how does this affect Boston too? Like, there is a possibility that this affects Boston, that because they're pissed off that they let this go. They let this get away. So do the Celtics respond by putting together a complete game and not screwing around and not letting go of the rope, so to speak, like they did at the beginning of the third quarter? because Toronto's not going to go away. And especially now where it's 2-1, they have an opportunity here to go and they have been saved. The Celtics have to come out in game four, come out hard, come out playing like they're the ones that are desperate. I know that's cliche, but they have to come out and play their best basketball, their best basketball of the season. They have to come out and put their foot down. They have to come out and play like they played in that seeding game, play like they played in a lot of game one. Go out there and take this series. You had it 3-0. You let it get away. Don't compound the mistake by being too cool, because that's something that has plagued them all year long. Don't be too cool. Come out and take it. Come out and take that first quarter. That's it. Can the Celtics come out and take that first quarter? Can they play pissed off, focused, and go impose their will? I still think so. I think the Celtics are the better team, and they played like the better team for a lot of this series. They got to go out there and prove it and take this 3-1 lead. Because if this thing goes 2-2, then watch out. Then I don't like where that's going. So we'll see what they do. Game four Saturday, big one. And we'll be back here for Monday's podcast. It's a Monday through Friday podcast. So the recap will be for the Monday podcast. And so subscribe if you haven't subscribed. If you're a new listener, hi, welcome aboard. Hope you enjoyed the show. Regular listeners, I know I keep asking, but that 5-star rating, good written review would be fantastic. I love that. It helps out a lot. And subscribe to Locked On NBA as well, because I do host that on Wednesdays, most Wednesdays, except when the Celtics are playing. So subscribe to that as well. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.